Okay, Chewy?
Chew. Like, you know, like the word, like, you know, the
Pikachu.
The yes. Thank you. That's exactly it.
Chew.
Yeah.
Okay. Shinogu Chew. Oh, this will be good.
To the Squadron of Shame's Exploding Barrel podcast for June 26, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm actually without Ajguy this week. He is in some godforsaken western state right now. He's with some group of people. Like, there are two people are riding motorcycles, and he's following them in his car with other people, and they're, like, following the Pony Express trail. It's something weird. I still don't fully understand it, but he's having fun. You know, he's sleeping in a tent.
Very much without video games.
Yeah, I know. I told him to buy Final Fantasy VII on the PSP before he left. I don't know if he did. Anyways, I do have joining me Joey Shinogu Chu. Shinogu would actually be the handle, and you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, everyone likes to sandwich the handle in between the two proper names. But
it
welcome. Given all these options, I almost want to just call you Chew, but I don't think you'd appreciate that.
Well, I think it would be a first. You could just call me Joey, you know.
Yeah, I can't do that. There's a terrible inside joke among my friends with some kid named Joey.
Were they born Joey, or were they born Joseph? You just call him Joey.
No, it's just, I don't know.
Let's get away from that. That's another thing on my end, too.
All we do is just jarware. I don't know. We just all go up to each other, hold out our hands, and go, apparently he was a public masturbator.
That's all I can say.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah,
so
that's all I should have let out.
Yeah. Shinogu it is. Or Shin.
Shin works.
Yeah. Shin Shu Chu, the baseball player for the Indians. This is fascinating radio so far. Here's what we're going to do today. So stick around. We're gonna first talk about the news, which Joey has been able to get for us instead of Ajguy. So thank you for that. That's pretty much it. Otherwise, I would have just done the whole show by myself, except I didn't want to do all that work. Then we're gonna go on to Game of the Year for 2005. That'll be a fun year, I believe. I liked it. Then we're going to talk about. Well, first we're gonna have the quiz. So it's the Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz, but without Ajguy. So I guess I'm going to ask you all these questions, Joey.
Great.
Yeah, we'll see how you do.
Fail out of my initiation here.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to do. I honestly don't. But then after that, we're just going to talk about our week in gaming. We'll talk about the games we've both been playing. Then we'll talk about the releases of the last week, and that's going to be the whole show.
Got it.
So why don't you just take us into the news then, Joe?
Might as well. Let's see. Well, apparently the big story, because you told me it was the big story, was it's kind of big. If you were if you played PC games back in the 90s, you know, when it was like really relevant then, id Software, they were bought out by Bethesda's parent company, ZeniMax.
Right, and I'm interested to see this. So actually, I wonder if there will be any visible differences like for the consumer coming from this.
Well, they say like, you know, the games they're right now on track, they're not going to change much, but maybe projects after that, we'll see like. I don't know, Fallout Doom Edition, like where you're on Mars, you're trying to collect bottle caps while you find out like aliens and demons from Mars.
Nice. What is it even working on these days?
Hard pressed to say. Well, what do you call it? The new versions of their classic franchises, I guess. I don't know, last year listening to the podcast, I think they were did that thing that that Flagship did with EA. They were like EA developers, something like that. They were partnering with EA
on some
stuff.
And everyone keeps saying that this company is the parent company of Bethesda. I don't know what. I wonder what else they.
Yeah,
I've
never heard anything from them because I guess Bethesda has been doing all the work, and ZeniMax is like, I don't know, the finance side. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really quite follow all that myself, but there it is. I don't know. It's always kind of big news when you had these sort of mergers or buyouts or whatever. I doubt we're going to see much of a difference in anything, but there it is.
Yeah. Supposedly move along now. Earlier this week, Oh, yeah, pretty early, like Monday this week. They announced a Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, originally a DS-exclusive title. Turns out it's coming to PSP now.
Now that's weird, isn't it? Just because, I mean, there have been GTA games on the PSP, and but they've pretty much just been PS2-style games, and this is very much kind of like a handheld game experience. Also, it was very dependent on touchscreen controls.
From what I heard, the touchscreen implementation was mostly like minigames that, you know, the people who played it could have taken or left it, you know, on the side, and, you know, most likely we're not going to get those.
Yeah, it was a lot of, like, for things like when you get into a car, you had to tap
like the, whatever the heck, when you got to record some of the drugs, right?
There were other things, too, though. There was, like, I mean, when you threw, Molotov cocktail. I mean, that was touchscreen. Other things, but I don't know. I mean, I imagine this move is coming because the game has been selling so kind of disappointingly on the DS. So I guess it makes sense financially. I wonder how it's going to be received on the PSP, especially when compared to like other games that might be seen as a more of a GTA experience people might expect. I don't know.
Yeah, they have an engine that For all we know, like they haven't been working on it. Maybe they have, like for the old PSP one. Maybe they're adapting it to what people play GTA 4 on. Who knows? At most we'll be getting a giant jump in graphics because you know DS doesn't do graphics very well.
Yeah.
Graphic update, new story missions, and.
As far as DS games go, it was pretty good looking, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know. I'll be interested to see what it's like. I won't buy it again, but, you know, kind of bizarre.
Mm. It'll be on digital distribution and UMD, so...
Well, everything's going to be on digital distribution soon, right? Yep. That's the idea. Yeah, well, good times.
Speaking of digital distribution, Holy Invasion of Privacy, Bad Man, what did I do to deserve this? The obscure first-party game that NIS America is bringing to America. It's now going to be available exclusively through PSN Store for $20.
What exactly is this game? I mean, I've heard this title, and I thought it was a silly title.
It's a very silly title.
What does it play like?
I tried the demo out, and what do you call it? When you about to load up the game, you see this, you know, the splash image, you know, behind, like, the game itself. And it has, like, this little ant farm sort of thing. And what it is like, you get, like a side view, like a bisection of, like, a town in underground. It's, like, a vast underground, which is where this demon lord resides. And the conceit of the game is you have to... you're making this dungeon by cutting out like squares, blocks of like earth and you know the underground to make this dungeon sort of thing. And then like the conceit is that RPG stereotyped heroes are coming down to kill the demon overlord, like take him out, arrest him, that sort of thing. So you got to save him by cultivating the underground forces of like random monsters, this ecosystem, which is where the strategy element comes in. You got to like trigger the right. Like birthing the right creatures, like making the right plants at the right time, I guess. And you had to make it so the labyrinth is really confusing, so the heroes get trapped, and then they get devoured by those monsters, that sort of thing.
It sounds like, is this like, what was that game, Dungeon Keeper?
I don't know. Never saw Dungeon Keeper, but it probably is like that. Let me look at that. But it's very, also like the style is very 8-bit graphics-y, because, you know, especially in Japan, Dragon Quest is like a big thing in there. And everyone's most favorite memories back then are of the Dragon Quest RPGs. So they ape that. And there's lots of, like, in the text, at least in the localized version, maybe in the original, they do a lot of parodies of, they parody a lot of the conventions of RPG as well. Japanese RPG.
Well, sounds interesting anyways.
Yeah. And the usual backlash, which is, like, from the people that probably just wanted to get the free soundtrack from the retail version. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Dungeon Keeper's an RTS. Well, this isn't so much RTS as, like, you know, just like...
Dungeon Keeper was... I don't know if I would call that an RTS.
Well, it says on the wiki, so I'm going by that.
Well, I'm calling wiki wrong. I don't know. Barely remember Dungeon Keeper. I just remember there was a lot of... Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game, even. I don't know. Whatever. Let's move along.
All right. Mistwalker had a blog update recently... about their latest project. The title's Game System. Well, they don't have a real title for it, but the game system is almost done. And according to them, it makes tactical use of confusion and order on the battlefield in real time. It sounds great.
That's funny, because that's how I would describe some of their RPGs anyways. Confusing.
Confusing? Confusion in order. Chaos in order.
Confusion in... What the hell? I don't know. I mean, whatever. You say Miss Walker's making an RPG, that's nice. Yeah. I don't know, man, that's weird. It's a weird description.
Yeah. That lasted as long as it should have.
Yeah.
And, right. Something about, in a Father's Day message that Barack Obama had, about, like, raising kids, I guess. Like, you know, helping kids out in the, in, like, this whole, like, in the, you know, with the media around them and stuff. He wrote, so the statement that people really latched onto that he wrote was, we need to set limits and expectations, we need to replace a video game with a book and make sure that homework gets done. Saying something about healthcare means going for a run or hitting the gym and raising our children to step away from the video games and spend more time playing outside. Which is, like, Bozo logic, I guess, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Everyone knows this, obviously.
Right, but apparently Peter Moore got upset.
Not so much upset as, like, you know, maybe upset on, how he was, like, doing that whole, like, you know, blanket, like, video games are always detriment, I guess. And he said, it may be time for the president and his family, this is Peter Moore, to put their Wii to good use and fire up the 30-day challenge with EA Sports Active. This is a game even the president may not want to step away from. Line was, Mr. President, here's my challenge to you. Try EA Sports Active, and I guarantee you'll need AIDS to say, yes, you can, to finish your first workout. So this is very much him shilling EA Sports Active.
It's just a very timely, I don't know.
It was nice for him to
showing.
Say that. It was nice for both of them to say that, but, you know, Peter Moore snuck in a little advertisement there.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, it's not like the president doesn't have a point, you know. I mean, it's, you know, that's pretty obvious things.
Yeah, Bozo logic.
Go outside. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go outside. I remember back when I was a kid, Nickelodeon had the one commercial where it was like, it's better than virtual reality, it's reality. And it was like the kid, he's like, I'm actually playing basketball instead of playing it inside. Mm. And it's just like, yeah. So we've been hearing this message long enough now. Yeah. We got anything else?
Got two more things. One of them is a bit more concrete than the other one, you know, because the less concrete one is Sony. But let's see. This is the most important thing, I guess. Like, they're Tekken fans, I guess. Are there Tekken fans in the squadron? Have they ever said that? Well, I heard Soul
Calibur. If there are any Tekken fans in the squadron, none of them have admitted to it.
Is that because Itagaki keeps slamming Tekken?
I don't know.
For the people that care, Tekken 6 is going to be released this year, October 27th, after so many years of being, in development, I guess. And it still looks like... I won't go into that. Well, let's see. Well, if you pre-order, you get the Penny Arcade cardboard tube samurai costume for Yoshimitsu.
I do like that because Yoshimitsu is definitely my favorite character in Tekken, but that's only because he's also in Soul Calibur.
Yeah,
that's all.
Oh, that's how they get their extra fans and sales, I guess. And then stupid 12-month calendar. You don't really care about that. The big thing to care about is limited edition bundle that has a wireless arcade stick. I guess, if you don't have an arcade stick. It also retails for $150, so...
Oh, is it a good arcade stick?
It looks nice. It's Hori branded, you know, the brand that everyone goes to for their arcade sticks. So
see, now, I might do that just because... I mean, I have Street Fighter 4 on the 360, and I'm going to get BlazBlue. That's going to ship whenever that comes out. And then I'm also planning to get Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I kind of need a stick. And you can't find those anywhere, except if I go online. And that's always annoying. Who wants to do that? Mm. So, Tekken... I don't know. I never played much Tekken.
I played a lot of Tekken PSP.
Dark Resurrection?
Yeah. It overstayed its welcome. As far as that... you know, and looking back, you know. I mean, I had as much fun as I did, but a lot of it was frustration against the AI, because I suck at fighters.
Right, yeah. See, I usually play 2D fighters. The only 3D fighting game I ever really embraced was Soul Calibur. Mostly because that one's pretty easy compared to the other 3D fighting games.
Yeah.
So what's your last thing?
Last thing was about, Sony, so, like, you know, it was buried in this article about Howard Stringer and, like, how he's, pushing to revive the Japanese, like, you know, to revive Sony. Mm-hmm. And he's got this new team, like these four musketeers. Like that's what it said on the Gaff thread, on the topic title. But the only real takeaway, I guess, is besides the fact that he has a sort of rotting Spider-Man Spider-Man a chocolate model in his hotel room ever since Spider-Man 3 is that there's going to be some sort of an update to PlayStation Network that'll be like really huge.
How huge?
So huge.
Oh man.
Katirai says a new service will overlay the backbone of the PSN. Will be broader and more open. Make easier such things as putting images from a camera on a TV, displaying and editing video, sharing with friends, storage. I guess it's like adding lots of PC functionality to PS3.
Wasn't that essentially their goal anyways from the beginning, was to make basically the PS3 a computer? So
make it like a media center. Ties into this little trivia thing I found out. Workstation, you know, like the regular word workstation. Like, there was also that gaffe, like, blow your mind thread. It was like, you know, PlayStation is an exact diametric opposite to workstation. So it is a computer for play instead of a computer for work.
Oh, I never gave Sony enough credit. That's very clever.
Yay!
Yeah, never thought about that.
Alright. That's the news.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of was today there's some sort of new Square Enix countdown. Did you see that? I mean, it's almost barely newsworthy because
there were two countdowns. Yeah,
there's so many. Well, this one, the one I'm talking about, it's like it's just a four. I think it's counting down to July 6th, and like if you turn your volume way up, you hear some sort of MIDI song. I don't know. People are saying it might be a fourth installment in the Romancing Saga franchise.
The
Saga franchise. That's like the only thing we can think of that like if there was a new game, it would be a four.
I looked in like the Flash file and I got the actual MP3 and the song is not so much MIDI, it's very chiptune-y. It's a very like 8-bit asset, you know? And people are trying to figure out the melody, what its series is. Some people said, the art style, that little feel against that piece of paper was, it was, I guess it was a little whimsical, I guess. Saga had a bit of that.
Right. I'm guessing Saga, personally. And I don't know what else it would be.
And the other, the pseudo-countdown was... It wasn't really a countdown, it was just, like, the number 1560 bouncing back and forth. That was from Capcom, by the way. And it was related to the Sengoku Basara series. People were hoping Onimusha, because that's where Onimusha starts. But apparently it's also when Sengoku starts, so who knows, maybe a crossover?
Yeah, why not?
Yes. There's enough, countdowns. Like, warlord killing there. Maybe it's in, like, Genma, some actual, like, Japanese demons. And someone else can come back, please.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Isn't that fun?
That's the news. Yay. All right, then, now that we're done with news, we'll take a look at the year 2005 and the best games of that year, and then we are both going to have to come to a consensus and pick our game of the year.
God, so, I don't even remember 2005.
Yeah.
It's 4 years ago, man. It's way too long.
I don't remember a thing. It was a good year, though. Well, it was also kind of the beginning of Nintendo with its whole casual push, because... The first thing I have on the list is Brain Age.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. That was, like, among, like, the first wave of, like, titles that came out of... I guess it was, like, sort of out of the reach of the gamer side, but then, like, started, like, pulling in all these people that suddenly created, like, so much success, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, like, even before this came into America, it was just this huge thing in Japan. And, I mean, at this point, the DS was still pretty new at this point. It just came out in 2004, but this game really... helped it kind of get more attention, along with Nintendogs.
Oh,
also
yeah.
On this list.
My sister had Nintendogs while she was raising the dog at her boyfriend's place. That dog is still here, by the way.
That's nice.
Nintendogs, not so much, but yeah. Well, Nintendo, you know, it's the, I guess like Wii Fit makes you wear your body. Nintendogs makes you aware of dogs to make you get a real dog.
Yeah, Nintendogs, that was one of those games I played, and like, my friend just looked at me like, you're pathetic. Your real dog's right there being ignored.
Oh,
you're
man.
Playing on the... And I was like, shut up.
It's like that Hey You Pikachu commercial where the kid's like taking care of Pikachu on N64 while his dog just like playing trump grids and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
But for a real game, we have Call of Duty 2. Which I think for a lot of people was maybe the first one they played in that series. And it had, you know, it had very popular multiplayer. But really... I remember this was sort of the 360 launch title.
Oh, yeah.
It ended up being the big one, and it took a lot of thunder away from Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah.
And Cameo, really. This was the game that everyone kind of looked at and said, well, this one is a good-looking game, and it was fun. And really, the Call of Duty games still pretty much follow the model that this game kind of created.
Was Call of Duty 2 on Xbox 360, was that Infinity Ward?
Yep, this is Infinity Ward.
Really?
Yeah. At this point, it was only Infinity Ward, and then Treyarch did the third one.
Oh, they were the guys who did the PS2, green GameCube, Xbox ones, huh?
Yeah, the Xbox. Red, big red down.
The big red one.
Big red
that
one.
That sounds
big
very
red,
weird.
Big red one. Big red down. Ooh. All right. Also, I have Freedom Force versus the Third Reich. I know. Did you play this at all?
No.
No. See, I know this among the squad. There are some Freedom Force fans. I've never really played, but I put that in there for them.
I keep getting confused with Freedom Fighters.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I have that problem. We have God of War. How about that? Never a fan. So it's hard to believe how there's so many games that try to be God of War. Hard to believe the game itself is only 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like God of War.
I never played the first one, so I never got that whole vibe of Greek tragedy. I just saw two Anchors of Olympus, where it was all like Kratos angry, rawr.
I will say that I liked God of War 1. God of War 2, and I feel like 3, it kind of lacks something in subtlety. Not that God of War was a very subtle game, it's just, it gets a little bit too much sometimes. But God of War, I mean, it was very fun, it was a very fast-paced action game. Like I said, there are so many games right now that try to be this game. It's weird when you kind of go back and play God of War 1, because there's like a lot more puzzles than there would be in like the kind of next couple games, because that's how action games were then. You know, they had more puzzles and stuff, and you know,
that was probably also David Jaffe's influence, maybe.
Yeah,
didn't see much puzzles in Twisted Metal though, so
yeah,
who knows. Oh, you know why I didn't care about God of War?
Why?
Devil May Cry 3 came out this year. Same month, too.
I almost put that on the list. I liked the Devil... I didn't play Devil May Cry 3 until
the special edition. Yeah,
until it was easier.
A year later. Which
and
is
even,
the same for me, yeah.
And even then, I couldn't get very far in it. That game kicked my ass. See, people tell me, like, some games are hard that I just don't think are hard. Like, Henry Hatsworth. I don't think that's that hard. Devil May Cry 3, though, I can't beat that ever. Ever. Can't do it. Guitar Hero came out. There's another really important game, huh? The first Guitar Hero. And I remember at the time, it was just like, oh, it's like they're bringing Guitar Freaks over here, finally. It's funny when you think about the first Guitar Hero set list, because, like, the only, like, really big, famous, like, rocks, like, metal song, anyways, in it was Iron Man. Besides that, it was a much more obscure set list than you would see today. And this was also before DLC. And at this time, the series was still PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, it was before they had that sway in the music industry, yeah. I guess it was, like, this or two that had the boom.
That had the what?
Like, you know, that started that giant, like, giant peripherals and stuff.
Yeah, well, this one was pretty popular, but like, you're right. It did seem like with the second one, like, it really became kind of a national, like, noticeable thing, and it became, like, almost fad-like. After that, I have Kingdom Hearts 2. Which is one of my favorites, just because I love Disney and video games, and when you put them together, it makes a mighty fine stew indeed. Did you ever play it?
I never did.
Never did.
I remember anticipating it for a bunch of years, and then at the end, like, it came out, and I never really gave a crap. And then I just basically read what everyone else said about, like, the really button-mash-friendly combat, and...
See, yeah,
and, and the focus on, away from, like, the Disney worlds and, like, traversing them, and the story unfolding there, and having that nebulous Organization 13 story side, I was like, I don't know about that.
Now, see, I don't know about that whole button-mashing combat thing. Like, it's not Ninja Gaiden. It's not that complicated, but for an
action
RPG...
Not so much complicated as it's, like, really easy.
I mean, it's easy. I don't know if it's really easy. It's not Prince of Persia easy. You'll die sometimes, at least. But
then Mickey will come and save your ass.
Yeah. Only on the boss fights, I think.
Yeah.
But even then, he'll only come save you a couple times. But hey, it was neat. Mickey come save you, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's still one of my favorites, though. I'm a fanboy for it. I admit it. Everyone's a fanboy something. You have your Halo fanboys. I'm a Kingdom Hearts fanboy. I'll die that way. Ooh, we have Kirby Canvas Curse for the DS. This was, like, the first DS game that, like, really utilized the touchscreen controls to do just really cool things. It was a game where Kirby was a ball, and you didn't really control him. You just kind of, you made paths and loops for him to travel around the world with. It was cool as hell.
Yeah. It looked interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I hope they make a sequel for it someday. It'd be nice.
People are saying they want it for more like a Wii version. Like, it's a no-brainer, but...
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because I saw somebody do a mod for Super Mario Bros. 3 where they did the same sort of thing, where you just draw, like, where you want Mario to go.
Like, they have Mario, like, auto-running, and you just, like, control the rest?
Right, yeah, exactly. It was bizarre. Lego Star Wars came out, and this is kind of beginning that whole Lego everything phase. It was a very casual-friendly game, and it was fun, and it was silly, and they're going to probably end up making these Lego games to the end of time now.
It's a little sad, because Lego has, like, I don't watch TV that much, so I don't see many commercials, but Lego sort of has faded out of the building block toys and into this, like, this blank slate for put any, like, franchise on there, and it'll be, like, a fun family, like, version of that franchise.
Right.
For video games.
Like, yeah, I feel like these get more exposure than actual Legos do.
Yeah.
Mario Kart DS, which was a great Mario Kart, just because it had a bunch of original tracks. It also had tracks from every other Mario Kart before it from that time. So it had, like, tracks from the first one, from the 64 one, and from the GameCube one, and the Game Boy Advance one in it. Mm. It had a lot of racers, and it was one of the first DS Wi-Fi compatible games, so it had multiplayer.
And also introduced everyone to the horror and fury of friend codes.
Yeah, that's right. This was the beginning of friend codes, which 4 years from now, we're still kind of stuck with. You go ahead.
No, it's just like, for Wii, it's a different friend code system, right? It's like one per system now?
Is it? I don't even know. That's I honestly go online to my Wii so often, I could tell you, huh? I think the only time I really tried was for Smash Brothers, and that never worked all that well. Mario Tennis Power Tour. This is a Game Boy Advance game. It was like the golf game the year before, where basically it was like a Mario Tennis game, but there was a lot of RPG elements in it that really made it really interesting, really cool. I was playing this one even again very recently. It's still a lot of fun.
Did it have connectivity with the GameCube one?
You know, I imagine it probably did, knowing how Nintendo was all up about connectivity at that point. I bet you could probably get your character into the
GameCube game. Yeah, because they did it for the Game Boy Color one and the N64 one back then, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, I'm just guessing at this point. But, yeah, I put money on it. Myst 5, The End of Ages, came out. This is pretty much for AJ. Although, this is the only Myst game he never beat, which I always thought was... Well, he never played Riven, because Riven doesn't run on anything. But he loved 3 and 4, and then 5 came out, he started, and couldn't finish it. But this was, like, the first one where you actually, like... It was kind of first person, and it wasn't just, like, a bunch of fixed cameras kind of thing. So, a little different, and this was the end of the Myst series, and it has been. This is the last time we've been in a Myst game. Okay, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. I would love for this to be a squad mission. I got a copy of it not too long ago, but stupid thing's not backwards compatible. But it was a very critically acclaimed, kind of a sort of underground hit, first-person shooter set in the Oddworld world. This is the last Oddworld game, too. It hasn't been one of those in a while.
Yeah, Lauren Lanning, I remember listening to him, it was last year, I think, on the One Up Yours. They had Amy Hennig and, from Naughty Dog and Lauren Lanning, one of the dudes from, what's the Oddworld Studios, I think it's called?
Yeah, I think they're just called Oddworld Inhabitants.
Oh, yeah, and they said something about, like, they wanted to finish the story, but... They want to put the narrative on priority because it's hard to do, like, in market the current marketing conditions to get another Oddworld out there, I guess.
Yeah, the whole thing's just kind of weird. I mean, I remember when they released the first Oddworld, they're like, "Yeah, there's gonna be 7 of these. That's gonna be great." I'm like, "All right, good luck."
Quintology, I think it was.
Yeah, it was something bizarre. Oh, wow.
I remember seeing the first couple Oddworlds and thinking they were the same game because it sounded like really very similar. Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, and I was like, "Which one do I start with?"
Much as Odyssey was a launch title, wasn't it?
For Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird game.
I remember that commercial.
Yeah. Everyone thought it was a pretty big coup when Microsoft got Oddworld as an exclusive.
And I guess, like, Halo came out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, no one cared. Like, Oddworld, whatever. Okay, Psychonauts came out, huh? How about that?
Yeah.
We got Tim Schafer's big platform game, his first game with Double Fine away from LucasArts. Very, very critically acclaimed platforming game. Also,
did we ever do
disaster.
A squad mission on that? Didn't need to, right?
Yeah, no, we did.
Oh, you did? You guys did? Just didn't do like audio version?
Well,
No, they didn't do a podcast. It was like one of the first ones because, well, here's a little history lesson. The whole Squadron of Shame thing began when 1UP, yours, did. Well, they tried to do it. It was like one of segments. And the game they were going to do was Psychonauts. And then it was just called Pile of Shame or whatever was the name of their segment. And then when they didn't kind of get around to doing it, a lot of people from the 1UP boards, this kind of predates even me. They kind of said, well, we'll do it. And that's how the Squadron of Shame got started. They did Psychonauts. So Psychonauts is probably the first mission they did, I'm guessing. Beige will have to get back to me. I always assume Beige was there. I know Beige was there from the beginning. I'm sure Pichu was also. There's a lot of the charter members of the squadron. They're probably all of them. They're all in Toronto right now, having a beer and a laugh.
I guess for all the messed up, I mean not messed up, but like the here and there that 1UP FM had, I guess they did a good thing by having their backlog section. That was what I got confused. Like they did a Psychonauts thing as well as a Shadow of the Colossus thing.
Ah, yeah. See, we get a lot of imitators now.
And they had the wherewithal to get Tim Schafer on that show.
Damn it! See, we just.
I'm like, you know, that was like that was last year's 1UP, you know, 1UP FM.
Right.
That was like a section in their show.
I want Tim Schafer on my show. Anyways, moving on. Resident Evil 4 came out. Which, here's another game that's kind of often emulated, and never as successfully. Well, it kind of depends. I will say that Resident Evil 5 is nowhere near as good as Resident Evil 4, which is kind of bizarre. But, I mean, Gears of War, I mean, Cliffy B pretty much says that, you know, he admits how much Resident Evil kind of influence that. Just the whole over-the-shoulder camera thing, and it kind of made the series relevant again, which it desperately needed.
And then it became irrelevant again once people managed to make them move and shoot at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
A more action-paced series.
Right. Like, it kind of worked then. I don't know. I have bigger problems with Resident Evil 5 than that. Than the whole move and shoot, or the lack of. But Resident Evil 4 was a huge deal at the time.
It was like, forget survival horror as you know it. It was like a big thing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty much the death of survival horror in a way.
And it was also, like, GameCube. Like, I guess it was, like, the first, like, non... And I'm just pulling out of my ass here. But it was, like, the first GameCube title that was not Nintendo that sold really, really well.
There had to be something else, I would hope.
But, like, you know, like a giant, like, you know, compared to everything else before it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it took them this long to get their first third-party hit on their system.
I mean, there are certainly hits, but they're not like mega hits like this one, I guess.
Right, but even still, this one, they still had to go ahead and do the PS2 port.
No, I think that's good. We like money port, so.
Oh yeah, exactly. but speaking of PS2 games, I really like from this year, Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
Yeah, which you know, it was from the Team Ico team, but I always kind of prefer this to Ico just because I just love the epic scale of it. I just love the monster hunting. I love the score. I don't know. I love everything about this game. It's
I bought
beautiful.
I bought the soundtrack separate, and I was playing it in the sound system during dinner, and, you know, it was fun until, like, the first 5 minutes, and then they were, like, turned it off. I was like, okay. yeah, it was very lovely.
The best song in the soundtrack is Revived Power.
Which one is that?
That's the one where it's like the song they play when, like, it's like, you know how, like, it always works out, like, you don't know what to do with the Colossus for a while, and you're kind of getting your ass kicked, and you're like, wait, I need to jump on his beard when he looks into the cave.
Like
and they play the song, it's like the victory song, you go, and it's like, da 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 da.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Da, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Okay, anyway. Yeah. But yeah, my favorite
We'll just hum songs together.
Yes. My favorite is during the desert one, the flying Colossus, and you jumped on him, and then you're attacking there. That's like one of the supreme favorites here.
Oh, the two flying Colossus were so cool.
I didn't really feel the one that the bird shaped one.
No, man, I don't know.
Because
man.
Yeah, I thought like compared to like later, but I mean at that first time I was like, oh, but it kept falling off as well.
Right. Well, just because when I first did it, well, I first watched my brother do it, my younger brother. It was just this really cool moment where, and it was just such a cool moment though. You're like, am I going to jump on this bird? And you do, and you just start flying with him, and then at one point he does like the loop, and you your grip meter.
Oh yeah, you're trying to hold on.
Right, but your grip meter is out at the top of his loop, so you let go. But then he comes back down, and you grab onto him again in midair.
Oh, I never did that. I was an idiot.
See, that's pretty cool. That, you know, that makes you just smile like an idiot. All right.
I'm not sure. I think there were some that were, like, in the... They were, like, a water stage. Like, they were water colossi, and then they would dive, and you could hold on to them, I think. And you would be, like, underwater as well.
Yeah, yeah. There was underwater ones that were pretty... Pretty much like the flying ones, but in water. Okay, next is The Sims 2, which is like The Sims 1 or 3, but in between them. Is there anything you want to say about The Sims?
Only that Jeff Green is awesome.
Alright then. Alright,
yeah.
Sly 3, Honor Among Thieves. I didn't play these games, did you?
I wanted to get into Sly, but, I never really got around to it.
Yeah,
I keep seeing them like bargain bins. I'm like, I have to get that. I have to get that.
I know. I
always
see
we should give Sly like a squadron treatment. You know, because it never got the recognition that Ratchet and Jack have. Like, you know, they still get games. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. These guys had to move on. And my last one is Star Wars Republic Commando, which this was a squad mission. It was just a really.
Oh, it was. Oh yeah. Yeah. Space dudes. I think it's called Space Guys.
Space Guys Republic Commando. You know, because it almost doesn't seem like a Star Wars. It seems like a really nice squad based first person shooter with a Star Wars skin over it. But it's a lot of fun. Kind of a simple experience, and you know, it was fun. That's all I gotta say. I said the word fun twice. Very professional commentary on my behalf.
Yes.
Alright, so Ajguy's not here, so I get to torture you exclusively with the Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz.
Well, before that, I just want to pull some random, a few things out that
before I go to the quiz, I have other things to do with the year. Go ahead. We didn't even pick a game of the year. What the hell am I doing?
Well,
I'm just jumping ahead. I'm going crazy.
Well, there's no Ajguy, I guess. Oh, what'd you call it? Did you ever have a PSP?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, like, you never gotten Metal Gear Acid?
No, I never got into Metal Gear Acid. I just never got into that. I love Metal Gear. I'll play anything Metal Gear, but I just couldn't do Acid. I don't know why. I couldn't do Acid.
Oh, well, look, when I was playing it. Well, it's like a, like, you know, Metal Gear Acid, it's like very small maps. It's a strategy RPG sort of thing.
Well, with it's like Fire Emblem,
but like,
with a card game, right?
Not really. It's like a, like, this guy off Final Fantasy Tactics, but the Metal Gear, like a... game design elements to it, like you have to avoid being spotted by enemies. You gotta take them out with like your weapons and stuff or your CQC. But then, like your actions are randomized through, except for movement and like leaning against walls. Like your actions are randomized in terms of combat and healing by the cards you get. So it's like that's like another way, like their experimentation on like having another way to add tension, I guess.
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting.
Nice.
It was a pretty interesting game. Pokemon Emerald, which...
oh, really?
In retrospect, having played Platinum, you know, this was really, like, the best they could do at that time, you know, Pokemon Emerald. That was alright. I guess the...
I prefer 4th-gen Pokemon to 3rd-gen.
The DS ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Platinum now, and I'm waiting for Soul Silver. Can't wait.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And the first game for PSP that really sold out a whole lot, not necessarily because of the content... Well, a little bit because of it, Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories.
Oh, right.
Because at that time, that was also the game that people used to breach the firmwares and start pirating. Yay. And let's see. Two more things, I guess. Three more. Well, Indigo Pharmacy will get into passing. I'll just mention that because of Heavy Rain coming out later. It was like the first thing that Quantic Dream that released that got any play in mainstream, I guess.
I'll take your word for it.
Besides that thing with David Bowie, the first time Katamari started getting tired with We Left Katamari.
Yeah, it's like, all right, guys, Katamari was nice.
And then it was like they started to overstay their welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last thing on this list that I could really give the most shit about is not Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, even though people like it because it did set a prototype in terms of engine and playability.
Right.
This thing was released on July 7th, Killer 7.
Oh, Killer 7. Never played that. It was weird, because it was one of those games where it wasn't reviewed well, but then, like, people were telling me it was good anyways. I couldn't handle it.
It was a lot of that Japanese being weird for the sake of being weird. It was also... This is very weird. It is essentially a visual novel.
Oh.
It's essentially...
Hotel Dusk?
Well, like, take out the first-person, like, traversal... It is basically it's very much like visual novel. You're going down like set paths, like, you know, instead of like selecting from menus, you're really going down those set paths, and like, you know, all the interaction with everyone else, like with enemies or like with certain plot points, it's all first person. Yeah, and it was like a... I liked it... Like, I've beaten it three times, and every... You know, it's very weird. After every time I've beaten that game, I've contemplated, like, suicide. It's very strange, but, like, I'll still leave that game on my shelf because
whoa,
of...
Wait a second. What are you telling me here, Joe?
It's very weird. It's like, you know, there's no problems with my life, but it's, like, this really weird game, like... this game just, like, does really weird things to my mind, you know?
Right.
Like, a lot of it is, like, the whole, like, you know, investiture and, like, you know, the games that I play, and it's, like... I spent all that time for nothing. The scene, like, this game makes no sense and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. After I beat Metal Gear Solid 2 and I beat it at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt very weird that night. Just very uncomfortable.
Well,
just because I was so fucking confused.
Yeah. I mentioned it in my blog, but that was... But, you know, Metal Gear Solid is like, you know, that was the opposite for me, Metal Gear Solid 2. It was very much, like, I really liked that game despite all the stuff that I had to piece together later on when it got documented. But, yeah, Killer 7, it's, like, $10 now. $5 if you're lucky, I guess. Yeah, hunt it down and
GameCube game though, right? Or
it's PS2
also.
And GameCube.
Oh, okay.
GameCube is 2 discs. Doesn't really just like random trivia here, and I think the cutscenes aren't pre-rendered on GameCube.
Interesting. Hmm. All right. Let's talk about David Wynn's stuff because he always has fun things to show me. First, he has Boktai 3, and in my mind, I thought there's only 2 Boktais, and he goes, "Aha! Yeah. But wait, there's a third one only released in Japan." So, there you go.
Goes through how much, like, America liked Boktai then.
Yeah, honestly. But, you know, it looked like Boktai. What was that one for DS that was pretty much Boktai?
Lunar Knights?
Lunar Knights, yeah.
It was, yeah, basically that without the sun sensor. But if you had the GBA cartridge for Boktai, either one of them in the GBA slot, you could use the sun sensor to boost your attack higher, yeah.
Right. All right. Yeah, he also has Dragon Quest Heroes Rocket Slime, which was kind of a bizarre tank battle slash Zelda game kind of thing, but with the slimes from Dragon Quest.
Could have sworn that didn't come out in America that year.
Well, yeah, but we always just do...
releases in general for 2005.
Yeah, we always just do whatever it was first released in, that's the year, and that's good enough for us.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it's too complicated. Front Mission 5, Scars of Wars, this is also a game that didn't make it out into America, but it was a Front Mission, and people like those, don't they?
Hmm.
Shin Megami Tensei, Digital Devil Saga 2, because it won't be David Winless about Shin Megami Tensei. That reminds me, I think I promised him I was going to put the one giant thing he wrote for one of the games on the blog, and I never did. So I'll still get around to that at some point, Dave, don't worry.
Run that by Sword Guy first.
Yeah. So apparently he was disappointed by this one, though.
DDS 2?
Yeah, he said it
was... Oh, so was I.
Oh,
I guess
really?
Maybe I could sort of inject my own thing. Well, first
thing
we had to
say this
is first.
Good. We actually have someone on here who also knows about Shin Megami Tensei games. So you can talk about them.
First, it's pronounced Shin Megami Tensei. So.
Okay, I can say Tensei all I want.
Yeah.
And you can all just
Tensei
suck
it down
is like katana.
Tensei is like a different meaning. I'm a weeaboo in that sense, even though I'm Chinese. But yeah. Well, first let's see what he had to say about this, DDS2.
Well, he just basically said... He says not a bad game, but just had a lot of problems. There's some plot twists that apparently cheapened the events of the first game, which he didn't like. He said that like the plot was kind of like, oh, we have to save the world sort of nonsense that he doesn't really like. And he said that he said there was kind of balancing problems with the final dungeon in particular. Hmm. Those are kind of his major complaints.
Well, I guess in terms of plot, like, you know, I guess a little bit of spoiler here in the first one. Well, not so much spoiler, because they tell you right out that, like, the first one is, like, these, first Digital Devil Saga was, like, warring tribes, you know, trying to ascend to Nirvana by, you know, being the only tribe left in the junkyard, which is where this, which is, like, the landscape, name of the landscape it is. And, you know, I guess in comparison, like, part two is a bit more stock standard in being, like, ultimately being a tale about saving the world.
Yeah.
And the intro kind of spoils the whole rest of the game. Like, the intro you play for DDS2, like, you find out everyone else lives anyway, so it's fine. So, after everything else, you know that everyone's going to survive, which spoils it a bit. I got up to the final dungeon in DDS2, and I quit because there are choices in part one that you had to make to keep to have a certain character from part one stay in your party, instead of being swapped out for the new character Roland in part two. And you know when I found out that I didn't get heat back, I instead got Roland. I was like, screw this game.
Oh, and, I understand.
Let's see, plot twists that sort of cheapened part one. I don't know. I guess that's like very much a taste sort of thing. Right. My real problems with part two were that it was like a, you know, like the in the course of playing the game, like the plot like takes away characters from you, which I don't know. I'm sure there are other RPGs that do that, like Suikoden. I know there's parts where, you know, certain characters die, but that's a game with 108 characters. This is a game with, you have 5-6 characters tops. Like, right. 5 characters tops. And you know, these are characters that have elemental properties to them, like in terms of like being weak or resistant to certain elements. They get taken away, and then you have the skill tree thing, where you learn certain elements, and then if you have been and I was playing this, I wasn't anticipating like having like these characters taken away from me so quickly, and to have like certain skills, like to not have access to those skills and those characters, like just out of nowhere in certain dungeons where I was getting screwed because I didn't have those power-ups, I mean those elemental spells anymore, it sort of like threw me for a loop there.
All right then.
And then like and in terms of like balancing in the final dungeon, I guess it does ramp up a bit in difficulty there. I did not play through the whole dungeon. I got up to the first boss in there, and I was like, I don't know.
Well, all right. Done with Tensei.
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 Whatever. SMT. There you go.
Error. SMT, yeah. His final one was Steamboat Chronicles, which... He says it was like a sort of a Miyazaki style, almost open world game. It's kind of like he said some people say that Yakuza is Japan's GTA, but he says that this fits that bill better. He said it kind of takes place in a pre-World War I Industrial Revolution era. You know, a lot of vehicles, a non-linear approach to progression. It sounds like a really neat game. I looked at the videos, it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, part two is in development, the one for PS3. Incidentally, next week, PSP one coming out in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if it's still at your game retailers, it's gonna read the first one for PS2 will be like $10 at most.
Oh, cool.
We should give that a squadron treatment, maybe.
Yeah, I had not heard much about this, but it looks pretty cool.
Sad thing is, the cover art for the first one had that, I don't know who did the, like, the cover art. It looks very, like, stock standard, like how to draw anime, not as bad as Metal Sagas did.
His other mentions he wanted to bring up real quick: Advance Wars DS, Battlefield 2, Brothers in Arms, Burnout Revenge, The Call of Cthulhu, Call of Duty 2, Castlevania: Dawn of Souls, which is actually the only Castlevania I've beaten. I think now I think about it, it's the only modern one, anyways. I beat the older ones.
I think it was also the only game to get that atrocious Konami box art for the Greatest Hits version, where you get the box art in the box art.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. He also says that it is the best Castlevania game. Well, good for him. Civ 4, Condemned, Darwinia, Devil May Cry 3, Drill Dozer, Electroplankton, Exit, Fire Emblem, Path of Radiance, God of War, Guitar Hero, Kingdom Hearts 2, Kirby Canvas Curse, Mario Kart DS, Mercenaries, Metal Gear Acid, Meteos, Oddworld, Stranger's Wrath, Osu Take Kwandan. Oh, really?
Osu Tatakai Oendan.
Oh,
yeah. Tatakai Oendan. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Olympian agents.
You mentioned freaking Meteos, and you know what that immediately reminded me of that I forgot to talk about?
What?
Luminous.
See, I don't even like Luminous. I loved Meteos,
though.
You
really
don't? I don't like Luminous. I know, I'm like the only person, but I just don't get it.
I remember being like that at first, but then I was like... Well, it's like the first big thing, big new thing that wasn't like totally like invading your mind, that was Rez, which is a sad thing, but it was like very interesting. It was like it was pretty hard to say because it's a puzzle game, you know? Puzzle games are kind of like hit and miss.
Right.
Where, like, your mileage will vary.
He also has Psychonauts, Resident Evil 4, Shadow of the Colossus, Sly 3, Sonic Rush, Stubbs the Zombie, Super Princess Peach, and Wipeout Pure. Hmm. I gotta go do Jeff's list real quick, because he always sends me one, too. Jeff Mossop. M-O-S-S-O-P. I probably said that wrong.
Jeff Mossop.
Mossop. He has Gary's Mod, first off, which is that kind of the big sort of... It's like that.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's hard to explain. Well, what would you call it as? I don't know. You just kind of get to make scenarios in Half-Life 2. It's hard to describe it.
It sold like a couple of 300, like a couple million, I think.
Yeah,
it
was very
Steam, so
it's very popular.
God of War, which we already talked about. Mario and Luigi's Partners in Time, which I didn't put. I don't know. I didn't like that one as much as the first one for whatever reason.
I liked part one until my friend made it unfun for me by saying, "Oh, I got all the combos. Did you?" I was like, "Screw you."
Yeah, exactly. He also does Miss 5. He has Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones, which I didn't put on there, but he liked it. Although I think he also liked Warrior Within, so fie to him. Shadow of the Colossus, yeah, beautiful game. Oh, it says the environment felt dead to him. I don't know.
Traversal, of the vast plains of the Colossus.
See, I kind of thought that was the point. It was a very dead place. It weren't, I don't know.
I liked sort of traversing around it, and while I was there, that was the basis of interaction, and finding the animals, getting the white lizard tails. Yeah. I was fine with that. Yeah. It also has a gameplay benefit: more health, more grip meter. Finding the fruit as well.
Right. He says, and also Sly 3 says it was fun. The series was starting to get stale, so at least he has some commentary. Okay, we need to pick a game. My two big contenders are Resident Evil 4 and Shadow of the Colossus. What are you thinking about?
Shadow of the Colossus is definitely one of them. I guess in terms of, industry-wide, people pay attention to this. I guess I would agree, yeah.
All right, so... let's say Shadow of the Colossus. I love Shadow of the Colossus.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Shadow of the Colossus, then. Game of the Year, 2005. Booyah. Normally, I would go down the list of the other past Game of the Years, but I don't have that with me, so whatever.
Last year's was Half-Life 2.
Last year's was Half-Life 2, and before that... See, I already forget even what was before that, I know that 86 was Zelda, and 87 was Metal Gear, 88 was Mega Man 2, and then it's, it starts
87?
Fading. Yeah.
Metal Gear for NES?
Or MSX or something.
Oh. I guess I'm going
to do that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I swear it was E3 2005, was the year Metal Gear Solid 4 was announced.
Oh, there you go.
And that's the year later, we had the War Has Changed trailer.
Right, wars. That 12-minute trailer, I love that.
Yeah.
All right, here's the quiz. I have no idea how well you're going to do with this. I don't think you've played some of these games even, but it's going to be great. Yeah, I know you didn't play this game. What's the name of the main antagonist from Kingdom Hearts 2?
Sora.
No, it's Semnus. That would be the protagonist.
Oh, wait, antagonist. Christ. Okay. Yeah, I just woke up 2 hours ago, so yeah, there's that.
Maybe I should have just said bad guy.
Yeah. Who is the bad guy in KH2? I would have gotten that.
There we go. Number 2. God of War begins with Ares trying to destroy what city?
How the hell should I know? Sorry.
Just guess some sort of Greek city.
Athens?
Yeah, you got it.
No effing way.
Yeah, there you go. It's Athens. All right. What is the name of the president's daughter who Leon is sent to rescue in Resident Evil 4?
Ashley.
All right, that's 2 points. How many colossi must Wander destroy in Shadow of the Colossus?
16.
That's correct. Hey, you're not doing bad. You got 3 out of 4 so far. You get the next 2, you'll win. Number 5. What is the name of the camp in Psychonauts?
Damn it, I forgot.
Whispering Rock.
Whispering Rock, there you go.
And the bonus question. Name 2 of the 4 Delta Squad members from Star Wars Republic Commando.
Crap, nah. I'm going to pass on that one.
Boss, Sev, Fixer, and Scorch. Those are their nicknames.
I should have gotten
anyways.
Sev at least, because the Sev is a guy in Killzone 2 that you play as.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, well.
All right. Hey, you did much better than I thought you would.
If I didn't flub the freaking Kingdom Hearts one.
Yeah. Well,
I wish Sora was a bad guy, though, just saying.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a sweet twist for the next one. Sora's the main bad guy. It'd be hilarious. All right. Let's do our week in gaming. Would you like to go first? Do you play anything interesting?
We are actually facing a summer drought, I guess, now. Having had a prototype and an Infamous released in early this month, as well as UFC and Fight Night, I think, and I don't have any of those. So I'm eagerly waiting the Bionic Commander rearmed trophy patch and difficulty rebalance before I play that again, because I deleted the save file.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been playing Okami.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know a guy at GameStop, so there was a, you know, the, sometimes they throw out like guidebooks when they, the price goes down to like a penny. So I was like, oh, I'll take that Okami one and the Valkyria Chronicles. So there's two games that have like interesting visual style, you know, and I want to get Okami done because it's really long. And I have a great guidebook now, so I know where to go now. And like the first time, I just dropped it. But then I heard the Squadron podcast with Okami, and I was inspired despite, you know, being told I suck by Papa Pichu for not beating it.
Right. I'm trying to... Was I on that podcast for Okami?
You were on the Silent Hill one. I don't know if you were Beyond Good and Evil, but you weren't on Okami.
Yeah, because I actually didn't like Okami, and I kind of didn't want to admit it. I like Okami, but I just... I don't know. It's very slow, isn't it? Especially in the beginning.
I don't know about... Oh, it's like very text-heavy in the intro,
yeah,
and also the Animal Crossing talk.
Yeah, I guess it was like Banjo-Kazooie talk.
I guess it was like very much space restrictions. If they were able to get all like the anime voice actresses and voice actors, they would have done so.
Right, but I mean, it's definitely a very interesting game, and I respect it if that means anything.
Yeah, and I also, like I said before, I'm Japanese, so I take to this game very well.
Japanese. Yeah, I also own Valkyria Chronicles. I got it for like Christmas. I haven't opened it yet. Because I told myself I wasn't going to play it until I beat Persona 4. And
That was a terrible prerequisite of yours.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
I had to get working on that. Anything else you want to talk about?
This week, in terms of gaming... Oh, I also have been playing Super Stardust HD, just to finish that off.
Oh. Well, you know, fun. Is that... That's basically the PlayStation's Geometry Wars.
Yeah, and they didn't even sequel, you know. And they're still doing really well.
Huh?
Like, it's still a really good game, yeah.
Oh, well, snap, take that. Alright, let's see if I played anything interesting. Short answer, maybe no. I don't know, I'm still playing Ghostbusters, and I'm still enjoying that. I got back into MLB 09, the show. I'm starting my player's fourth season now. This time I'm starting with the Indians, and we're hoping to make it to a World Series this year, so that's pretty exciting. Am I really this uninteresting? I've been playing Rock Band Unplugged. I think I talked about that last week, though.
You may have. I don't remember.
Oh, you didn't even listen, did you?
Yeah. No, I did. But, like, yeah, I listened to it twice. The second time, I cut off the end because my earphones were starting to wig it out.
I did talk about it because I remember I yelled at AJ about something or another. Now, I yelled at AJ because he was complaining that, like, you don't stay on a track long enough.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it was like the whole point.
The frequency and amplitude bit, you know, switching the tracks, yeah.
Right, yeah, whatever. If, AJ, I know you're listening to this. I still think you're wrong. No, I guess I really played nothing interesting. Yeah, no. I'm waiting. Hopefully next week I'll have BlazBlue to talk about because that'll come in. That'll be cool. That'll be so good. Well, then, let's just get to these releases then. And as soon as we finish all that, we can call it a day. Sound like a plan? All right, so for the digital releases, I don't know where AJ gets these, so I don't have a very complete list. But I do have Virtual Console. Sim Earth, The Living Planet came out, which was some TurboGrafx game I never heard of. For WiiWare, we have Drill Sergeant Mindstrong, Family Mini Golf, and NEVES Plus. I don't know. Xbox Live Arcade, though, did get Garou, Mark of the Wolves. It's an SNK fighting game.
Yeah, is it the revamped, like, new edition, or is it, like, a old port?
You know, I think it's just a port. I don't...
It certainly has the same title as the original, so...
Right.
Can't really tell. Except for the plural, it's Wolves now.
Right, yeah. Yeah, maybe. It's, like, with Alien.
Maybe it's, like, a Street Fighter Anniversary thing, where they mash them all together.
Yeah.
Like, play this version, this character, and this version, this character.
Right. Just try the demo. So, I don't have anything for PSN, although I didn't...
I got the blog list right here.
Oh, go for it.
All right, downloadable, like also on XBLA, I think, this week, Droplets. I think Atlas got this weird thing about twisting dials to save precious droplets.
Oh, nice. Did that also PS1 come out on PSN?
Yeah, I'm talking about PSN now, yeah. Oh. I'm pretty sure it was multi-platform, in terms of XBLA and PSN. PS1 Classics, this week was kind of boring. Last week we had Metal Gear, I think. This week we have Mobile Light Force, a classic vertical scrolling shoot-em-up.
Eh.
Game demo, The Bigs League 2.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
They had the Summer Solstice, the Druid costume for Little Big Planet.
Oh, nice.
They had a bunch of PSP, like, used to be UMD. I mean, they're still UMD, but now they put them on the store now. Brothers in Arms D-Day, Chessmaster, The Art of Learning, Driver 76, and TMNT, based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles CG movie. They're all Ubisoft, I think, yeah.
Weird. All right.
And they're all nominally priced. Almost retail. Well, practically retail, $20, yeah.
Jeez. Well, for real games, we got Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, yeah.
We're going to talk about that later? The movie? I saw it, too.
we can talk about that after we do
okay,
this.
Okay,
why
okay,
not?
Okay, okay.
All right. We got Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, PS3 and 360, this is. I'd imagine it came out from more systems.
I'm pretty sure it was giant multi-platform movie release, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out on everything. PS2, PSP, Wii. Yeah, it's on everything. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor on the DS.
I could have sworn that was next week.
According to GameSpot, it came out on the 23rd.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I need a new DS game. Is this good?
I'm not interested in this.
Why not?
But it seems interesting.
Why aren't you interested, though? I want to know.
I'm hard pressed to like have very much interest in spin-off SMT titles.
Okay.
Like I haven't I beat Raido, but I haven't but I also want to beat it to completion, so I haven't touched King Abaddon yet. And after being burned by Digital Devil Saga 2, you know, I'm kind of wary. And I also never beat Persona 3 and 4.
Ah, right. Yeah, I should beat 4 first.
And also this is very much a like strategy RPG vein. So I don't know how that's going to work in terms, like, you know, how that will translate to SMT.
Okay.
With all the demons and everything.
Right.
Skeptical.
GameSpot gave it a 9.0.
Yeah, they got really good scores.
Yeah, got good reviews. Overlord 2 for 360, PS3, and PC. Fight Night Round 4 for 360, PS3. The Spore Expansion Pack, Spore Galactic Adventures, came out for the PC. The Conduit came out for the Wii. Monster Hunter Freedom Unite for the PSP. I love that title. Freedom Unite!
I love how it's Monster Hunter FU.
Yeah. Monster Hunter FU.
Thanks, Capcom.
Nice. Resident Evil Archives, Resident Evil. The Wii version of the GameCube Wiimake. Oh, that was a slip of the tongue. Freudian slip. Wiimake. Alright. Battlefield Heroes, I guess, is getting its sort of official launch on PC. And Dynasty Warriors 6 Empires for PS3 and 360, in case no one's sick of that yet.
In case no one got the first Dynasty Warriors, and if you did, you would love Dynasty Warriors, so get this one again.
Alright, so what did you think of Transformers 2?
This is a Transformers segment.
Yeah, we're pretty much done, so this is just loose talk.
Alright, just to close it out with Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen talk, yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been better.
Yeah, it could have been. I guess my expectations for the Transformers movies are just very low. So, it was like, you know, there's action that looked cool. It was definitely way too long. Those two robots were definitely offensive, to be kind. But it's making...
Everyone clapped whenever he called, the dude's friend a pussy, because it was true. But still, I guess people were still slightly offended by the fact that they apparently talked in, like, a very... they had very racist portrayal, I guess.
Well, yeah, they talked, you know, it was I'm going to put a cap in your ass, and they had teeth. They confessed at one point that they couldn't read, you know.
We even do it with reading.
Right, yeah, exactly. I don't know.
The villain use, like, the Fallen, like, apparently he's trapped in another dimension. What the hell is he doing getting tentacle raped by, like, Sentinels? Like, while Megatron and, like, Starscream are smacking each other around.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, like, all this backstory they have, like, they put out, like, before release. I think it was just basically to satiate the fanboys. To be like, oh, yeah, it'll be good, just watch it. And then, like, they get totally burned when they see what actually is there.
Right. I did like that Starscream was revoiced to sound more like the original Starscream.
He sounded very... I liked the first movie, like, his Starscream voice. But it didn't really sound like... either cow or chicken or G1 Starscream, like the for part 2. But he was like very much a bit more like, you know, hesitantly, like, you know, like whispering stuff.
Right. It was better.
In the face of the mighty Megatron back here.
Right. Okay. That's enough of that. We're going to close that. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, do you have something else you wanted to say about Transformers?
Well, let's see. For part 3, I want Unicron.
Yeah.
Dinobots.
Oh, yeah.
Dinobots, don't make some stupid, like, they were in prehistoric times. Just have him land in the dinosaur theme park, scan the dinosaur models, and that's it.
So far, this movie sounds a lot like...
all we need for Dinobots.
This movie sounds a lot like Transformers the cartoon movie, with Unicron and the Dinobots.
Put in Unicron, Dinobots, and, make a better script.
Yeah, there you go. Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more about us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@squadronofshame.com. Is there any contact info you want to give out, Joe?
Is it like the username at squadronofshame.com?
Well, if you actually have one.
I don't have one.
You might not be cool enough.
I have a login, that's all I got.
Alright, that's all you got. No one can talk to you then.
Alright, well, just like, I have a one-up page. Shinogu.oneup.com.
Alright, go to his one-up page, guys.
There you go.
Alright, thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you have a good
week.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, you will, because I still don't want to do the news myself. Alright, so we'll be back next time, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you.